You're listening to SBS News.
Critical minerals are, as the name suggests, becoming increasingly critical in the modern world. They underpin technology used by billions of people, like smartphones and computers. In 2026, they are both an economic and literal weapon, according to Federal Resources Minister Madeleine King, who describes the strategic reserve of these resources as a matter of national security.
And especially in terms of antimony and gallium and rare earth elements are very important within the AUKUS context as well. So making sure those products are available for the builds our three nations of AUKUS are doing in the submarines is also going to be important.
Gallium, antimony and rare earths have been listed as priority resources for Australia's $1.2 billion critical minerals reserve. Antimony can be used in a number of ways, including to harden bullets and as a component of missile guidance systems and night vision goggles. Gallium is also important for military equipment, including as a component of advanced radar systems. The reserve allows the federal government to buy minerals from Australian mines and sell them to other nations. In October, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese signed the Critical Minerals Framework Deal for critical minerals with the Trump administration in the United States.
Well, this is an $8.5 billion pipeline that we have ready to go.
That's right. It's all ready to go.
That pipeline and this new announcement, both designed to ensure regular supply of minerals to the US, with President Donald Trump making this forecast last year.
A year from now, we'll have so much critical mineral and rare earths that you won't know what to do with them. They'll be worth about $2.
It's not yet been a year, but from Air Force One today, he was revealing where some of those minerals would be used.
I'm going to be making a trip to Detroit to talk about our unbelievable amount of factories that are opening up all over the country, many of which are car factories and car plants. We have manufacturing plants opening up at levels that nobody's ever seen before.
The Albanese government in total will commit around $28 billion to fund a series of measures to support the sector. However, Shadow Resources Minister Susan McDonald told Sky News she's concerned domestic policy will impede international plans.
We've been warning for years that Labor needs to be ensuring the supply of these critical minerals, and that means ensuring mining. That means not introducing more legislation like the EPBC. It means reducing the costs of processing. And, you know, if we just talk about gallium for a second, I mean, that is a byproduct of bauxite mining, and yet bauxite processing is on its knees.
Most of Australia's critical minerals have been processed in China, which controls close to 90% of the resources' global supply chain. That reliance is shared by other advanced economies, with finance ministers from G7 nations in Washington, D.C. to discuss the issue. Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers will be there too, spruiking Australia's place on the critical minerals supply chain and potential to disrupt China's monopoly. According to the Resources Minister, it signals Australia's place on the global stage.
And what this says is that whilst Australia is not a member of the G7, because of our extraordinary resources sector and our natural advantages in resources and critical minerals, we are welcome at these forums as a leader on rare earths and critical minerals globally.
Japan has sent a ship on a rare earths mission as it seeks to further reduce its reliance on China for critical minerals processing. Camille Bianchi, SBS News.